Hey, it's great to be here. I've been here two or three times now. I love what's going on. I've known Matt for years, and I love his ministry and his heart for people and the way that he just includes and gets behind people. I was talking to someone, actually a Year 12 student on Friday night, one of our school captain, and his dad is a pastor. And I said to him, does your dad like being a pastor? And he said, he just loves getting behind people. He believes in people and loves getting behind people. And as I was coming today, I just thought of you, Matt, actually, when I think about the many gifts that you have. It's one of the things that I see you do a lot, just get behind people and believe in them. So it's great to be here. I know you're in the third, fourth week of a relationship series, is that right? So I thought what I'd do today is to start off with my favorite relationship memes. I'm sorry if they're inappropriate, so we'll have a bit of a look. So here's the first one. Ways to tell a woman's mad at you. One, she's silent. Two, she's yelling. Three, she acts the same. Four, she acts different. Or five, she murdered you. Next one. This is pretty much the Venn diagram for what girls are looking for. They want handsome, smart, and nice, and all three of them are obviously Batman. The next one. Ladies, if a man says he will fix it, he will. There is no reason to remind him every 6 months about it. Next one. Fall in love with someone who will treat you how Kanye treats Kanye. Next one. I just like this one. I don't think it needs explanations. Do you know the Cookie Monster? I feel like you should be laughing more at that. And this one's probably inappropriate. Ladies, if your boyfriend can't drive a manual, you've got a girlfriend. But I figured I'm kind of in Ipswich. Is that okay here? There'd be lots of places I couldn't show that. But I thought, Matt's really nice. And you're kind of on... Is this Ipswich? I feel like, because I'm from Redcliffe, I feel like we have a common bond. Yeah, in that no one really wants to come to our places of dwelling, but we can't escape it. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Actually, I paid out Logan once on Facebook. I realised you can pay out Ipswich, you can pay out I'm from Redcliffe. You can pay out Redcliffe, you can pay out Deception Bay, you can pay out Tasmania, you can pay out New South Wales, you can pay out New Zealand. You cannot pay out Logan. I don't know why, but I paid out. I was at Logan Shopping Centre and I paid it out. And there were people sending me private messages saying, "Aren't you a pastor? How can you do this?" I'm like, "It's just a gag." Anyway, sorry. Okay, so I have some relationship memes. I also have a really, if you're not a Christian, I apologise for this, but this is like a really corny video taking off some Christian dating stuff. So have a look at this video. There we go. Hey, what I'm going to say. In my very first year of teaching, I went to a school that was a Christian school, but probably 90-95% of the students who attended that school weren't Christian. And unfortunately, the school did a really poor job of trying to communicate Christianity. So as a result, the Year 12s were extremely anti-Christian. And halfway through the year, it was like my first or second year of teaching, they sent me in to take over their Christian studies class. The previous teacher went on stress leave and didn't come back. So I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing. Why am I having to do this? And I just said, well, look, I don't know what we're going to do. So my first lesson is a little bit like what I'm going to do with you today. It worked then. It has worked several times. But there is a chance it could be a disaster. So if that's the case, it's been great knowing you. You never have to ask me back, okay? But I'm going to see if this works. So what we're going to do, you need to interact with me tonight, otherwise it's not going to work. I want to start off by asking the girls, and guys can contribute, what is it that makes girls attracted to the opposite sex? And what is it that makes girls feel valued? Right, so if I was to ask the girls, or anyone really, what are the kinds of things, I'm trying to work out where to put this, is this okay here maybe, is that alright? If I was to ask the girls, or anyone really, what is it that makes a girl, or would lead a girl to be attracted to a guy? What are the kinds of things? Just yell anything out, I don't really care. Money, did someone say money? Okay, righto. Righto. And by the way, this doesn't have to be very spiritual. So you might even be thinking through the lens of people who don't go to church. Throw anything in here. In fact, try not to be too Christian about this, right? Just try to think about what the world would say. Because it will be interesting to see what happens. So is that it? Is that all you need? Yeah, I've saved a lot of money. Oh, okay, righto. So what else we got? Confidence. Oh, confidence is king. I'll tell you what, I hope it's not spelling, because you're going to see how bad my spelling is tonight. Okay, what else? Six pack. Okay. Okay, why have a six pack when you can have a keg? Okay, right, so what else? Yes. Kindness. So these are the things that you're attracted to. Yep. What else are the kinds of things that girls might be attracted to? What was that? Eyes. Really? Didn't know that. Okay, righto. Okay. What about, what is it that might make a girl feel valued in a relationship? What are the kinds of things that might make her feel valued or treasured? Money. Well, I don't know how that works, but yeah. Quality time. Okay. Time. What else? Respect. Yes. What else? What are the kinds of things that might make a girl feel valued and loved and sorry? Trust. Yep. Anything else? Confidence. Oh, compliments. Did someone say good listener? I once did a test to see how good my listening skills were. This was a staff function. And there were 17 questions. And you had to answer these 17 questions to find out how good a listener you were. And one of them was like, while the person is speaking, are you assessing their fashion choices? And I was able to say no to that. So that was good. But the other 16, I failed. It was really embarrassing. So, okay, that's probably enough. Now, what we find is that what a girl is attracted to and what makes them feel valued, there could be some crossover, but they are generally different, right? And what we find, and again, I'm just kind of going to jump in here, hopefully, but generally, what basically, if you ask enough questions, and you guys have probably stopped short, we probably could have had another 20 of these. Generally, when I've done this with lots of different audiences, what girls will say is they're basically looking for a guy they can believe in. Now, you haven't really got much there, but actually, before I go on, what have I done with that? Can I add a few others in that I think would be, would it be right to say hardworking? Would that be a fair comment? Would that be all right? Somewhat competent at something other than Xbox, right? If you win at Xbox, you lose at life. That's what I've discovered. So, what audiences will say is that girls are looking for someone they believe in. They are looking for a guy, when they look at them, they go, I believe in that guy. I can trust that guy. I can follow that guy. It's the kind of guy that I could believe in. But when you ask them what makes them feel valued, generally, they want someone who will treasure them. And that when the guy's around them, he will do everything he can to make them feel appreciated. He will compliment them. He will do all these things for them so that they know they are treasured. So, okay, so this is kind of what we find when we ask the girls. Now, I'm running out of... Maybe I could just spin this around. Or maybe I'll do that. How good is it? Whoa. I almost had a whiteboard accident. Okay, right, let's do the same thing. If we do the same thing for the guys. So what makes a guy attracted? And what makes them feel valued? Now, before I go anywhere, because I'm used to working with high schoolers and they say stupid things, I'm just going to write looks up here. And that covers all the specifics that teenage boys might want to get into. Fair enough? Okay, righto. What are the kinds of things that a guy might be attracted to when they're looking for someone of the opposite sex, other than looks? Actually, guys, I'll give you 5 minutes to think about that and we'll come back. No. What else? What else was it? Smart? Conversation. Yeah, what else? Funny. Oh, we didn't put funny on the other one. That's a huge thing. Okay. What else? Sorry? Oh, okay. So, guys are attracted to confidence. Yep. What else? Guys are attracted to girls who can drive manual cars. Is that legit? That's just, I just want to let you know, that's just an Ipswich thing. Not even Radcliffe. Yeah. In Redcliffe, where like they can drive a manual, steer clear of them, right? Don't go near them. Okay, right. So what are some other things? So think about, I feel like we're not doing a very good job here. I don't want to be critical, right? But as a guy, when you think about the kind of girl that you might want to be with or that you are with, what are the kinds of traits that they might have? Sorry? Low maintenance. Okay. Yeah. Does everyone know what that means? Yeah, that's legit. Okay, what else? Independent. Oh, well, that's similar, hey. So, what? Oh, thank you, Seb. You may have saved the message. Okay, righto. So, far out. Okay, righto. Okay, valued. What is it that might make a guy feel valued in a relationship? We might just say, and that, again, will cover an entire range of things that might be going through a guy's mind right now. What other than physical affection might make them feel valued? Okay. How many people just said that? Okay. Righto, what else? Cooking? Did someone say cooking? Okay, cooking. Or food. Yeah, to be perfectly honest, we don't care if you cook it or not, we just want the food, right? Yeah, and all this presentation stuff, we don't care, right? So, okay, what else? Sorry, who was saying that? Well, trust. Oh, being trusted. Yep, anything else? Compassion. If the girl shows the guy compassion, being shown compassion. There's someone else at the back there, was there? Yep, feeling appreciated. How's my spelling going? If I can get 8 out of 10, I'm happy with that. Okay, right. So, and again, I probably feel like we need more time. Teenagers tend to want to go into a lot more specifics. But what happens is, when you ask guys what they are attracted to, they are generally looking for a girl, in the same way a girl is looking for a guy that she believes in. Guys are generally looking for a girl that they treasure. And when you think about, you know, there's these kind of things in them that they just look at and go, I treasure this about you. I love that you are caring and kind and you're all these things. Also, if you ask a guy what makes him feel valued, it's not, I mean, the fact that three people said respect after physical affection, like that's actually a big deal. Again, if they feel believed in, they usually feel valued. Now, so I had this year 12 class, they didn't know anything about Christianity, we did this thing. And what we did, we did this over the space of maybe 15 minutes, so a lot longer than what we've got tonight. This is going to be hard with one arm, but I'm going to see how we go. Right, so what we then did, I wrote this up on the whiteboard, I've got it up on the screen for you, is we wrote this. Oh, if we just go back, sorry. What makes us attracted to someone is not the same as what makes us feel valued by someone. Now, we know this because there might be a guy who decides to buy a girl flowers. And he thinks to himself, if I buy her flowers, she will like me. Is that true? No. This is why the guy can send flowers to the girl every week for 15 weeks and then he gets arrested, right? She doesn't like him because he sends her flowers. If she already likes him, she will feel valued because he sends flowers, but that doesn't make her attracted. What makes us attracted to someone is not the same, or not necessarily the same, there's crossover, as what makes us feel valued. Now, interestingly, if we kind of look at this, if we just, you know, what makes us attracted to someone is not the same as what makes us feel valued. If we think about this a little bit like a knight and a princess. Now, imagine that I'm like, you know, or that we are living in a world, a fairy tale world, where there is a princess who's been captured and she's been taken prisoner and she's up the top of a castle and she's been held there by an evil dragon. And a knight comes along, and the knight's job is to risk his life to slay the dragon, rescue the princess. The princess's job is to see what the knight is doing, believe in him, and then be willing to jump on the back of the horse, wrap her arms around him, and ride off into the sunset. Now, that's pretty much just every fairy tale story, right? The knight comes along, being willing to risk his life, slays the dragon, rescues the princess, but the princess has to jump on the back of the horse, wrap her arms around the knight, and ride off into the sunset. Now, in a sense, this is what we see happening. The knight, if we actually just leave that for a second, the knight, in a sense, he has to treasure the princess so much that he is willing to die for her. The knight is looking for a princess that he treasures so much that he is willing to die for. The knight is not just going to risk his life for any woman that's been caught and captured by a dragon. He wants to see her as this incredible treasure, not as in a possessive thing, but in this, he just treasures her and values her so much that he thinks to himself, this woman is the most amazing woman. I would be willing to die for her. In the same way, the princess isn't just going to jump on the back of any horse, of any knight that comes along, because she has to be willing to jump on the back of the horse. She is looking for a guy that she believes in, a knight that she believes in enough that she can jump on the back of his horse, wrap her arms around him, and ride off into the sunset. So guys are looking for a princess they treasure enough to die for. Girls are looking for a knight that they believe in enough that they can entrust their life into his hands. Now, what makes the knight feel valued is that he slays the dragon, he does all these things, he's willing to risk his life to die for this princess. He feels valued when she believes in him. What makes the princess feel valued is that the knight was willing to die for her and treasured her enough to risk his life for her. Let me see if I explain this using a nerd table, right? So if we have a look at the table, the knight is attracted to, next slide, sorry, a princess who he treasures enough to die for, while the knight feels valued when his princess believes in him enough to jump on the back of his horse. Meanwhile, the princess is attracted to a knight who she believes in enough to jump on the back of the horse, and she feels valued when her knight treasures her enough to die for her. Okay, it seems complicated, but it's just the knight and the princess. Every kid learns this story, right? That's all it is. So I had this with my class, this kind of class that was anti-Christian. We haven't obviously talked about Jesus at all. And then, you know, we'd probably spent 35, 40 minutes on this. We'd gone into much more detail than what I had with you tonight. And then, only then, were they into this, and I go, okay, let's look at the applications of all this. And I said, okay, oh, by the way, do you want to know where this comes from? And they're like, oh, yeah. And I said, oh, check this out. And I went to this passage in the Bible in Ephesians 5, and this is what it says. Wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Now, I pulled up here and said, look, this word submit in our culture probably hasn't got the best, it probably doesn't mean what we think it means. In our culture, when I think of the word submit, now, you might be part of church world, so it's not a big deal, but for someone who grew up outside of church, I would have heard the word submit when I heard about dogs submitting to their master. It just doesn't carry the best connotations. But this word submit here isn't like a dog submitting to their master at all. It's nothing like that. It is much more like a woman believing in her husband enough that she's willing to entrust her life into his hands. In the same way, a Christian entrust his life or her life into Jesus' hands. It then goes on, husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring out the best of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. So in other words, husbands, their job is to sacrifice everything for their wives. The wife's job is to entrust their life into their husband's hands. Chuck Swindoll made it really simple. He basically said, and this is probably a stretch, but he said really simply, the wife lives for the husband and the husband dies for the wife. That is the picture of the knight and the princess, and that is the picture of Christian marriage. So what I want to do tonight is do something a bit crazy again. I don't know how this is going to go, but I wanted you to look at these questions. There's going to be way too many questions. If you are someone who ever speaks, never put this many words on a screen at once. This is I'm doing the wrong thing here. But I wanted all of these questions to come up at once. What I'd like you to do is maybe spend 5 minutes with the people around you. There's no pressure to do this. But you can discuss any or all of those questions. I won't go through them. And then we're just going to share what you come up with. Is that cool? We'll just put some music on. Go for it. Okay, we'll have a go at these. I have no idea what's going to happen here, so might just wrap up. Righto, so let's have a look at question one. Why is it so important for girls to feel treasured? Do you think a lack of appreciation affects a girl's self-esteem? Why or why not? Any comments, thoughts, answers? Okay, so you think there's a bit of a chain reaction there? Well, can I ask, I'm going to put it out there. I'm not sure. I think normally that is the case, right? But I think there are lots of girls, and the same is true for guys, who don't feel treasured by the person they are attracted to, yet they remain attracted to them. And in extreme examples, that's why we have abusive relationships. It's this crazy thing that what we are attracted to and what makes us feel treasured, I agree, they should be linked. And when I think when we're able to think clearly, they are, but I don't know if they always are, unfortunately. So what is some other... Do you think that a girl feeling a lack of appreciation in a relationship will affect her self-esteem? Yes or no? Why? Yeah, she values their opinion. James Dobson, who is an elderly guy now, but when he was younger, had a lot of really good stuff to say on relationships. And he said, and again, this is just generalizations. By all means, feel free to disagree with this. This is just his opinion. But he said, when you go to a party, and when girls kind of, you know, say they're at a barbecue or someone's house, when girls first get together, they start typically talking about their marriage or their family or their relationships or their friendships. Whereas guys, what do we ask? Hey man, what do you do with yourself? We talk about work and what we do. And what James Dobson was saying was that girls tend to get their sense of value from the relationships in their life, not just their husband, but their relationships, whereas guys tend to get their value from what they do. Okay, number two, why is it important for guys to feel like someone believes in them? What tends to happen to those who feel like they have nothing to offer, who get criticized all the time? What do you think? Yes. Yep. And if they feel criticized all the time, they snap. Any other thoughts? Stick to computer games. I can't even win at Xbox. Okay, number three. Do you think girls can still be attracted to a guy even if he's extremely lazy? What about if he's unwilling to do hard things? Yes or no? Do you generally think girls are attracted to lazy guys? No. Why? Because they can't believe in them. They can't entrust their life into his hands. They need to know the guy is going somewhere, or if he doesn't know exactly where he's going, he at least has the capacity to go somewhere. He's not a deadbeat with no idea what he's doing in life, right? Number four, are guys usually attracted to girls who are really feminine? Or does it depend on the guy? What kind of traits make a guy willing to die for a girl? What do you think? Yes. It might depend on their definition. So maybe different guys are attracted to different things, but for them personally, they treasure this woman so much, and they see her as a princess, and they're like, I'd be willing to die for them. I just want to wrap up with one quick thing, and then I'm done. This whole passage that we read in Ephesians, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he wants to talk about this incredible message of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And he spends about the first half of this letter talking about what Jesus has done for us. And then he begins to describe how this could apply to our lives. And one of the ways it applies to our lives is to talk about marriage. And what he says is, hey, there is a knight, but his name isn't, you know, Jack or John or Ralph or whoever it is that, you know, you might think of, you know, as your knight in shining armor. But there was a knight, and his name was Jesus, and he's still alive today. And he wasn't just willing to risk his life. He actually did die to slay the dragon of sin. And because he was willing to die for us, we are treasured in his eyes. He saw us, even though in some ways he should have seen nothing of us that would make him wanting to do this. He saw us basically as the greatest treasure in the universe. And he said, I will go to the cross, I will lay down my life, I will slay the dragon of sin, and I will die for them. So that when he rises again, we can look at the ultimate knight in shining armor, and we can say, I believe in him. I can entrust my life into his hands. I can jump on the back of the horse, wrap my arms around him, and let him lead me off into the life he has for me. And if you're in the process of exploring Christianity, or maybe you've kind of been coming for some time and you're still trying to work out this whole thing, that is the story of Christianity. We have a knight in shining armor who laid down his life to save us. He treasured us enough to die for us. And to become a Christian, all it means is literally to let him rescue us. We have been imprisoned by sin, and he rescues us, and we leave our prison, we jump onto the back of his horse, we wrap our arms around him, we entrust our life and eternity into his hands and allow him to lead us. So if you're saying today, hey, I'm still trying to work this out, but maybe tonight was your moment where you've realized, I want someone like that in my life. I want someone who loved me enough to die for me. I want someone who I can trust enough that I can easily jump on the back of the horse. If that's you tonight, then I'm just going to give you a chance to respond. So can we just have every single person with their heads bowed and their eyes closed? And if God's been speaking to you tonight, if this is just making sense to you, if you're saying, yeah, I want to jump on the back of the horse, I want to wrap my arms around Jesus, I want to entrust my life and eternity into Jesus' hands. If that's you, can you just put your hand up right now and say, Jesus, this is my moment. I want to trust you tonight. Just put your hand up right now. That's great. Fantastic. Thank you. Let's just pray together. Jesus, we thank you that you came and you died for me. You came and died for each of us. You loved us so much. You treasured us above all things. And you were willing to do whatever it took to rescue us. In the best way we know how, we entrust our life and eternity into your hands. We trust that you paid for our sin in full. And we ask that you give us your Holy Spirit to lead us into the future. We look forward to the day, Jesus, where we see you face to face. Amen.